Hello, everybody. I'd like today to speak about a book and ask your impressions. This book is The Leopard by Giuseppe Tomasi. I've just finished reading in English. And this was filmed by Visconti into the famous movie called The Leopard. At the end of his life, Fabrizio Corbera, Prince of Salina, tries to sum up the incidents which were worthwhile in his lifetime, to the credit of that life, as he says. And there are very few, just 2-3 years. What do you think will be the moments of your life which you will sum up at the end of your life as being worthwhile? This is a question we never ask ourselves, I think. It's a bit sad, actually. The little time that is worthwhile for that prince who had such an easy life, as it were. And yes, that should tell us that opulence or material goods are not only what is important in life. Didn't you know it? Of course you did. I'm sure. I hope so, at least. So, there we are. My reading of an extract. Fabrizio is in agony and remembering things. There's a short passage left out, and then it's the end of the book. Have fun. Cheers. Tancredi. Yes, much on the credit side came from Tancredi. That sympathy of his, all the more precious for being ironic, the aesthetic pleasure of watching him maneuver amid the shoal of life, the bantering affection whose touch was so right. Then dogs. Fuffy, the fat pug of his childhood, the impetuous poodle Tom, confidant and friend. Speedy's gentle eyes, Bendico's delicious nonsense, the caressing paws of Pop, the pointer at that moment searching for him under bushes and garden chairs and never to see him again. Then a horse or two, these already more distant and detached. There were the first few hours of returns to Donna Fugata, the sense of tradition and the perennial, expressed in stone and water of time congealed. A few carefree shoots, a cozy massacre or two of hares and partridges, some good laughs with Tumio, a few minutes of compunction at the convent amid orders of must and confectionery. Anything else? Yes, there were other things, but these were only grains of gold mixed with earth, moments of satisfaction, when he had made some biting reply to a fool, of content when he had realized that in Concetta's beauty and character was prolonged the true Salina strain, a few seconds of frenzied passion, the surprise of Arago's letter spontaneously congratulating him on the accuracy of his difficult calculations about Huxley's comet, and, why not, the public thrill of being given a medal at the Sorbonne, the exquisite sensation of one or two fine silk cravats, the smell of some macerated leathers, the gay, voluptuous air of a few women passing the street, of one glimpsed even yesterday at the station of Catania, in a brown travelling dress and sweat shoes, mingling amid the crowds and seeming to search for his exhausted face through the dirty compartment window. What a noise that crowd was making. Sandwiches! Il Corriere dell'Isola! And then the panting of the tired, breathless train, and that appalling sun as they arrived. Those lying faces, the crashing cataracts. In the growing dark, he tried to count how much time he had really lived. His brain could not cope with a simple calculation anymore. 3 months, 3 weeks, a total of 6 months, 6 by 8, 84, 48,000, 40,000. He summed up, I'm 73 years old, and all in all, I may have lived a total of 2, 3 at the most. And the pains, the boredom, how long had they been? Useless to try and make himself count those. The whole of the rest, 70 years. He felt his hand no longer being squeezed. Tancredi got up hurriedly and went out. Now it was not a river erupting over him, but an ocean, tempestuous, all foam and raging, white-flecked waves. Suddenly amid the group appeared a young woman, slim in brown travelling dress and wide bustle, with a straw hat trimmed with a speckled veil which could not hide the sly charm of her face. She slid a little sweat-gloved hand between one elbow and another of the weeping kneelers, apologized, drew closer. It was she, the creature forever yearned for, coming to fetch him. Strange that one so young should yield to him. The time for the train's departure must be very close. When she was face to face with him, she raised her veil, and there, chaste but ready for possession, she looked lovelier than she ever had when glimpsed in stellar space. The crashing of the sea subsided altogether.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.